Because we are going to look at the Bible in more depth in different passages. So it'd be great if you've got your Bibles open in front of you as we jump around a few different passages. If you're a phone flicker, then go ahead and read that as well. But can I start by saying good morning to everyone. Welcome to church. My name's Albie, if I haven't met you before. I'm one of the ministers here. Hopefully you can stay back for lunch. Hopefully you can stay back for the prayer meeting. And so it's great that we can be able to gather together to hear God's word, but also to pray to God. And that'll be a little bit later today. Now, today, if you can see on the screen behind me, we're starting a new series. We're going to be looking at Christian living. We've been working our way through the book of Hebrews. We've gone from chapter 1 to chapter 8. And the idea is instead of trying to rush through Hebrews and squeeze it in between now and the end of the year before Christmas, there's a lot of good stuff in there. And so I want to take our time in Hebrews and be able to digest it and to play with it. And so we're pressing pause on Hebrews, and we're going to pick up the second half next year, the start of next year. And so for these 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the series of Christian living, different topics in terms of what does it look like for us to live as Christians. And so you can see on the screen behind me, we're looking at guidance. Next week, we'll be looking at money, and then how to disagree well, and then looking at depression. So we're jumping a few different places, and hopefully that'll enrich us as we look at God's word and what does it say about those different topics. But as we come to God's word, why don't we pray and ask that God might be with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the privilege it is to be able to talk to you in prayer and to be able to hear your word. We pray, Lord, that you might help us to wrestle with this topic of guidance. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who speaks. And we pray, Lord, that we are people who listen. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is full of decisions. There are all sorts of decisions around us. What time do I have to get up? Who should I marry? Who should I go out with? What should I have for lunch? Should I stay back today? What job do I take? Where do I live? What do I spend my money on? Should my kids do music or sport? Should they go to this school or that school? If there's a clash on a Sunday, or maybe you've had a late night, maybe you're tired, should I go to church or should I skip it? And as I look around the room, I'm glad that a lot of you guys made it to church. That is a good decision. Now, some of those things are small decisions. Some of them are pretty big. And what makes it trickier is that some of those decisions might seem small, but actually they have big consequences. And so in the midst of all that, we're looking at this topic of guidance. As Christians, how do we work it out? How do we make decisions? How does God guide us? Does God guide us? Is there a way to figure things out? Maybe this feeling that that's what God wants us to do and he gives us a sense of peace. Maybe it's looking for a sign that God gives us. Or do we just do the best that we can, cross our fingers and hope that it all works out in the end? That's what this morning is all about in some ways. And I think I may be a little bit ambitious trying to pull all that together, but we'll see how we go. Now, let me start off by saying that there is a great book by Matthias Media on guidance. It's called Guidance and the Voice of God. It's by Philip Jensen and Tony Payne. If you haven't read it, it's worth reading. And some of the ideas that I cover will come from there as well. And maybe you have thought about this topic of guidance before. And if that's you, that is great. This might be a bit of a refresher. Or I suspect if you have thought about it before, it might have been a while ago. And so rather than being a refresher, this is actually a bit of a stock take. How are you going in that? Or maybe we're coming to this for the first time. This is brand new to us. But whoever you happen to be, hopefully this is going to be helpful for all of us as we take a look at what the Bible says about guidance. Now, the first thing we see is that God guides us. God promises to guide us. In Psalm 25, verse 8, it's a psalm of David, and he says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way." Did you hear Psalm 25? God guides the humble. And actually, if we turn the page beforehand to Psalm 23, one of the best-known psalms in the Bible, Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd leads the sheep. Psalm 23, verse 1, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. The relationship between God and his people is a shepherd with his sheep. And that is a wonderful picture. In the psalm, God is the shepherd. He provides, he protects, he leads the sheep to food and water and rest. He guides. And that picture of a shepherd is the picture that we get in John chapter 10 that was read out for us. That Jesus, he is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And did you see in those verses that Jesse read out for us? What do the sheep do? The sheep listen to his voice. The sign of a sheep, if you belong to the shepherd, the sign of a sheep is that you listen to the voice of the shepherd and he guides us. We follow him. Nowadays, in terms of shepherds, you have sheepdogs and drones, and they chase after the sheep to get the sheep to go in the right direction. Back then, the shepherd would go in front of the sheep. He would call out and they would follow his voice. He would lead them which way to go. He didn't have hundreds of sheep. He had maybe 10 or 20. It is a beautiful picture here of what God does for us. He knows us. He guides us. He leads us. And there is great comfort in that. When I was in primary school, I lived in China for around 6 months. My dad was teaching over there, and so the whole family went over there as well. My oldest brother, he was around year 8 or year 9. And he went with some of his friends who were older than he was. They were actually uni age, and he went around China just with the friends, not with the rest of the family. This is back in the day where there were no mobile phones, there was no internet, there was no email. He did not speak Mandarin. And the friends were supposed to look after him, but they lost him. Now, as I was reading this talk, I'm actually not fully sure how the story ends. Actually, I know how it ends. He made it back. I just don't know how. He managed to stay safe, because I do still have an older brother, but he was in a foreign city. He was lost. And here's what we actually see here in Psalm 23. This is the assurance God gives us. God will never lose us. God will never lose us. We are never outside of God's sovereign plans. He's better than a GPS. He's better than an AirTag. He is with us. He is our shepherd, and he's guiding us. Which brings us to the question, where is he taking us? Where is God guiding us to? Now, there's a few different ways that you can answer that question, but I just want to focus on two of them. He's taking us to heaven. He's taking us to heaven. John chapter 14, verse 2. Jesus says, "My Father's house has many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you." And then he says, I will come back and take you to be where I am. I will take you there. He's talking about heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 basically says the same thing. God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. The inheritance is kept in heaven for you. If our trust is in Jesus, God is taking us home to heaven, and he's going to make sure that we get there. Now, isn't that a wonderful promise that God is our shepherd who will make sure that we make it home? That's the first part in terms of where God is taking us. He's taking us to heaven. But there's another answer in terms of where God is taking us. And that's the other passage that's there on the screen behind me. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Again, these are verses that are worth memorizing. Romans 8, 28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Do you see what that verse is saying? God is working in everything for our good, for those who love him. Now, what is good about this verse is that God tells us what that good is, what that looks like in the very next verse. God works in all things for the good of those who love him. For those God foreknew, he also predestined, and here's the good, to be conformed to the image of his Son. The good that God wants for every single one of us is that we can become more and more like Jesus, that we can be more like our brother, that we live like him, that we trust like him, that our character is like his character. There's a family likeness between us and Jesus because he's our brother. And God is working in everything to make that happen. A family likeness. Now, Zach and Chloe, they are our two older children. They like word games. We play a version of Bananagrams. Now, if you've never played Bananagrams before, it involves tiles that are basically Scrabble tiles. You know, it's got letters on one side of them. And this version is that you've got them all turned upside down and you turn one letter over at a time. And if you can make a word with those letters, you call it out and that becomes your word. And so if you flip over R and then A, I, N, you call out rain. And that word is your word then. That's one of your points. Now, the idea with this game, though, is that you can steal other people's words. If a letter turns up, you can add that into that letter, that word, and steal that word from them. So if a T comes up, you can put that at the beginning, it becomes train, and that becomes yours. Now, we used to play this game with the kids until they started beating us. Both of them would beat us, even when Dawn and I teamed up. When it comes to word games, Chloe and Zach are very similar. There is a family likeness. And that is what God is doing to us with our brother Jesus. God is making us more and more like Christ. And friends, that is huge. If that is what God is doing, God is our guide. And he's taking us, he's guiding us to be more and more like Jesus. If that is God's goal for us, then that is our goal for us. If that is the direction that God is taking us, then that is the direction for our lives as well. You start seeing what that means for us in terms of where life is headed, what guidance is all about. God's direction for us in our lives is not so that we can live happy lives. That's not his overall objective. That's not the destination. It's not so that we can live in the North Shore and be comfortable and to have a big house, to be in a fulfilling job, to have kids who are well-behaved and successful. It's not so that we can have a beautiful garden and to go traveling and to live our best lives. If that is our goal, then we chase after those things. They're the things that we want. But if God's goal is for me to be like Jesus, he might give me those things. He might give me the house and the job and the husband or wife, but he might not. He might actually give us suffering. And he might allow broken relationships and hard times and tears because God's goal is bigger. He wants to make us like Jesus. Where is God taking us? He's taking us to heaven. And he's making us in the here and now more and more like Jesus. That is big. It's huge. Now, if that is where God is taking us, how do we get there? How does God guide us in the here and now? And he does that in two ways. He does it because he's sovereign and because of his word. So first of all, God guides us because he's sovereign. God is at work in everything behind the scenes. We saw that in Romans chapter 8. He's leading and guiding us in ways that sometimes we don't even notice. We don't even see that until maybe in retrospect, and maybe not even then. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament. His brothers threw him down a well because they wanted to get rid of him. And God used that to save people and to save Abraham's family. Remember Cyrus. We saw that at the church camp. He was the king of the Persians. He was the enemy. He defeated Babylon. And God used him to bring his people back from exile. God is sovereign. Even as I think about my life, I think about Dawn and myself. Dawn was born in Hong Kong. I was born in Wagga Wagga. And I used to go back to Hong Kong every now and then when I was younger. And actually, when we sort of compared notes, we might have even played on the same equipment in the same suburb because that's where she grew up and that's where my grandparents lived. I might have met her when I was 5 years old. And yet in God's sovereignty, I started to get to know her when we started going to the same church in Linfield. That's where we started to get to know each other better. God is sovereign, at work in wonderful ways. He can guide us even without us realizing. But he also guides us because he speaks. And this is the part that we really need to prick our ears and to pay attention, because this is where God calls us to be in cooperation with him as he guides us. This is where we are called to respond. God speaks and we hear God in his word, in the Bible. Now, God can speak in any way that he wants to. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that we looked at a couple of months ago, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. In the Old Testament, God spoke through a burning bush. He wrote directly on a wall in Daniel 5. He spoke to various people in dreams and visions, through angels, even through a donkey. God can speak in any way that he wants. But he promises to speak in the Bible. That's where, if you want to hear God, if you want to expect to hear God, don't go to the zoo and listen to a donkey. Don't just stare at the wall and see words appear. No, God promised that he will speak in his word, the Bible. Hebrews chapter 3, again, we saw this a few weeks ago. It quotes Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That was for the people way back in the psalm. It was for the people in Hebrews 3, and it's for us. God speaks through his word. Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is alive and active. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, the Bible there, it is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And Ephesians 6, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes God's word. That is the instrument of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes God's word and applies it to our hearts. That's how God promises to guide us. Not by having this feeling of peace. Not by looking for a sign that, okay, if I just pray long enough, it'll be clear to me. God promises to guide us by hearing him speak in his word, the Bible. And so the question that we need to ask, are we listening? Are we listening to God's word? Are we reading the Bible? Because if we're not reading the Bible, if we're not listening to God's word, how do we expect to hear him speak? How do we expect him to guide us in the decisions that we make? It's like having a perfect counselor or expert or advisor. It's like having a perfect GPS that is correct 100% of the time and then completely ignoring it if we ignore the Bible. And if we are reading God's word, are we doing it? Do we believe that God knows what he's talking about and God is generous? God's word is a good thing. Are we reading? Are we listening? Are we doing it? Okay, so where have we come so far in terms of guidance? We see that God is our shepherd. He lovingly and deliberately, he powerfully guides us. Where is he taking us? He's taking us to heaven. That's our home. And he's making us more and more like Jesus. How does he guide us? It's because he's sovereign and it's his spirit working through the Bible. That's how he guides. So how do I actually know what to do? How do I make decisions? Now, when it comes to making decisions, Philip Jensen, Tony Payne, that book that I mentioned beforehand, comes up with three categories, which are really helpful. I've modified them a little bit, but effectively it's working out what's right and wrong, what's wisdom, what's wise and foolish, and what are things that are trivial, what are things that don't really matter. And so decisions that are trivial, That's when things are not really about right and wrong. They're decisions which don't really matter that much. There's no big consequences, and God doesn't particularly speak about that particular matter. What do I have for lunch? Do I have the chicken or the beef? This phone compared to that phone, they seem to have similar functions. They're around the same price. It doesn't really matter which one we go for. Just do it. Don't waste your time and energy trying to wrestle with everything about those things, because those decisions are, in the scheme of things, they're trivial. But then there are matters of right and wrong. And these ones do matter. God actually tells us what is right. He tells us what is wrong. And our job is to obey that. It is wrong to steal. It is wrong to commit adultery. It is wrong to lust. It's right to be generous. And it's right to be loving. Something is godly or it's ungodly. And it's not just the action. It's also our motivations. And so, for example, if you bought a house, buying a house, it might not be right or wrong, but our motivations might be. If we're all about greed and wanting the most, or pride and wanting people to look up at us and how good we are, then that can be ungodly. The decision itself, that at your house, can be a blessing from God, but our motivations and our heart are actually taking that in the wrong direction. Right and wrong is about obedience, and so we need to make sure that we listen. But then there are matters of wisdom. And at this point, it's not about right and wrong. Both of those options might be right, and it's using wisdom to work out which way to go. Our observations, our knowledge of the world, our experience, talking to other people. We try to wrestle with both options are right, but which one seems to be better in terms of at least how the world works, and wisdom. You know, this is a very, I don't know if this is a trivial one, but I think for some people it's a big question. Should I get a Mac or a PC? You know, neither of those decisions is sinful, right, in and of itself, despite, you know, what the ads might say or what it happens to be. But, you know, at that particular point, both can be good options, but you're just working out, for me, which one actually works better. That's a question of wisdom. It's not doing right and wrong in terms of which decision you make, but where you go then depends on the conversations you have and working out a few different things together. Now, the tricky thing is, a lot of the decisions we make actually involve both of them. There are matters of right and wrong in the same decision, as well as wisdom. I've got to work out the right and wrong part, including the motivations, and then work out what is wise. And so, in terms of who to marry, the Bible does tell me there are right and wrongs to that question. It needs to be somebody who's of the opposite sex, somebody who's a Christian, somebody who is free to marry. They are the boundaries that God gives us. But then after I've worked that out, there's a lot of people that fit into that bucket who might be right choices. But now it becomes a wisdom question. Once I'm within that framework, it is a right choice. Now I've got to work out what is wise. Are they a good match? Do they encourage me? Work can be a tricky one. Now, there are some jobs that are flat out wrong. Prostitution is a job which is wrong. Being a web developer for a porn site would be wrong. But then there's a lot of things which then become about wisdom. Now, I might want a particular job because it has better pay. I've got to work out my motivations. Is this about greed? Because money can be a good thing, but is this just about me living it up? Or sometimes this job might actually be so flat out, it's going to be really hard for my Christian life. And at that point, it's not just about wisdom, is it? It's not just about flexibility or which workplace I like better or which one is going to sort of match my skills better. It starts crossing the line, because at that point, it's about godliness and where I'm headed. It brings us back to where we are headed, to be more and more like Jesus. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, all of a sudden, that means a whole bunch of decisions. We need to work out, what does that look like for me to be more and more like Jesus? God is our shepherd. He's guiding us. Our home is heaven. The Bible is our compass. It's how God guides us. And the direction we are heading is to be more and more like Jesus. If that's our goal, if that's our direction, if it's to be more like Jesus, that makes a massive difference to a whole bunch of decisions. How I drive my car, that I'm obeying the speed limit, that I'm actually being a good witness. It makes a difference in terms of how I spend my time, how I spend my money. What job do I take? What do I want for my kids in terms of sport and music, even what school they go to? Do I go to church or do I skip it? It's not always going to be a clear-cut answer. But the shape of it is that we want to be more and more like Christ. What's going to help us to do that? And what's going to take us away from that? Back when I was in my 20s, Dawn and I went to a friend's birthday party. She lived out in Yeovil. Who knows where Yeovil is? Yeovil is around 70 kilometres south of Dubbo. Hopefully you know where Dubbo is. It has a population of around 400 people. And so I'd be surprised if you've heard of Dubbo. This is before we had Google Maps and GPS. Because we had no idea where our friend's actual house was, she drew this map for us. And so we made it to Yeovil. Go past the telephone box, turn right, keep going straight until you come to a left turn. By the time we got there, it was nighttime because we'd gone to a wedding earlier in the day. We got to Yeovil, we found the telephone box. That's what the township basically was. It was a telephone box, a pub, and a post office. That was the size of this place. We turned right. We went straight, and we're looking for this left turn. We kept driving, and we kept driving. Our eyes were peeled because at this time it's nighttime. We didn't want to miss it. We're also worried about kangaroos jumping out in the middle of the road. It was meant to be around 5 kilometres or so before the left turn came up, but we still couldn't find it. And I reckon we made it to halfway to Dubbo before we thought, okay, we've probably missed it by now. Let's go back. So we drove back, we doubled back, and we're still looking for the turnoff. We're still looking out for kangaroos. We made it all the way back to that telephone box, which is pretty handy, because we gave her a call up. And we went through the directions, the map she drew for us, and she realised she forgot to put in a right turn before the left one. We'd been driving all this time. We were meant to turn right and then turn left. It's important to make sure you're going in the right direction. You know, in that particular case, it just meant we turn up probably an hour too late. But it's important to make sure that we're heading the right direction in life. Let me ask you the question to finish up on this morning. What direction are you heading in? What's your direction in life? Is your focus, the decisions you make, maybe you realize actually you've been going off track. And you've been going in a different direction. God says this morning, repent. Turn back because it matters how we live. Are we listening to God's word? Because that's how God guides us. Being more and more like Jesus, is that our direction in the decisions that we make? Is that my family's direction as I seek to lead them? Because it needs to be. To be more and more like Jesus, and to let that flow out into all sorts of directions under God's sovereignty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are a God who makes great promises to us. We thank you that you are our shepherd and that you are guiding us. Thank you that you will take us home to heaven. And thank you, Lord, that you are at work in everything to make us more and more like Jesus. Help us to listen to you, that we want to be part of what you are doing in our lives, that we are cooperating so that we are looking to you for guidance, that we read your word and treasure it and cherish it. And Lord, that you help us to put it into practice. Help us to wrestle with decisions, that whatever decisions we make, whether they're big ones or small ones, that we are listening to your word, wanting to be more and more like Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen.